Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Jerry Cahill relates what inspired him to take early retirement from the bank to pursue a wide range of activities. Paddy McMahon explains how he retired from his job as a civil servant to write books and give talks and workshops. Anna Chu tells us that she went back to college at 59. Mairead Conlon shares how she went shopping one day when she was 58 and came home with a shop. And Tony Hughes explained how his career evolved over the years, from his early days when he studied biochemistry into now practicing as a naturopath. This program will close with a guided meditation.
In a couple of weeks' time, I'll be 74.
You worked in the bank for 38 years.
I did indeed, part of the time in the UK. I met some police officers at a function. In talking about their job and so forth, one of the things they sort of looked forward to, although they enjoyed doing their job, was retirement, which was compulsory at 55. And I thought, that's quite a civilized age to retire. And now, in the bank in those days, you worked on until you were 65 or had completed 45 years of service. And I thought, well, retiring at 55 would be nice because, God willing, you're still in good health and there's lots of things you could do that you just can't do when you're holding down a full-time job. So when the opportunity came to take early retirement at 55, I thought, why not? I always liked music, and I remember as a youngster in school, I always studied with music in the background. And I just didn't have time in the banking activities, particularly in the UK, to devote any time. I always wanted to explore music more in all the genres, not just in sort of classical music or popular music, but the whole lot of going back to the olden style 15th, 16th century madrigals and things like that. Just a general appreciation of music and the discipline that's in music, because each piece of music is a construction in its own. There's an order in it.
Paddy, would you like to tell our listeners about your change of career? You used to work as a civil servant, and then in your 50s, you decided to change course. Can you explain exactly how old you were and what happened?
Yeah, I was in the civil service. And mind you, I did enjoy it, actually. When I got into a different phase of my life, that I came across the whole notion of people having spirit guides or guardian angels or whatever, and then the possibility of communication with them, and then how that developed, like that people wanted to come to see me and so on. And I was living a sort of a double life for a good while. Then the opportunity came for me to leave the service. I decided that I wanted to get involved more in what I might call the spirituality, working with guides and with people and helping people how to develop their own way of communication. Also, I wanted to write. I published the first book in 1987. I saw that as a real way of life, like this is something that I really wanted to do. And so I developed it into writing with 13 books at this stage. So there was that aspect of it, the writing part of it. Then there was the other thing of meeting people and doing that individually for some time. And then I wanted to expand that, so I started working with groups of people. And then occasionally I did talks, you know, on a bigger scale with people in different areas. It was all as a way of empowerment. What I wanted more to do was to help people to find that for themselves. How do we find out what it is that suits us? And then how can we find a way of expressing that, given that there's always the compulsion of having money to live, which is part of the physical thing. That was one of the things that I really enjoyed, was exploring with people what it was that they would have wished to do with their lives. I found great joy when people did discover that there were different areas that they would have been perhaps too afraid to explore, and then when they did explore them, that they found that they worked very well for them. In one sense, it was part of a pattern, like that I moved from an area where I was working with people and enjoying that, and hopefully trying to work in a way that was of service to people, and then moving into it in perhaps a more pronounced way, a more spiritual way. And I don't mean that necessarily in a religious way. While I grew up being very religious in the Roman Catholic tradition, I let that go early enough in my life. I replaced it with, I suppose, what I would considered a more broadly based spirituality.
I was a nurse for 30 years. I spent 20 years of that time in Saudi Arabia, in the Middle East, well, in the Middle East generally, and I absolutely loved it. I then decided to study homeopathy because I'd always been interested in alternative therapies, always. I always felt that there was more to life than all that I had just seen. So I studied many alternative therapies just to get the experience of studying them. And then I practiced homeopathy for a while. Then I decided to go back to college. And I was 59 when I went back to college, or 58, I can't remember. Because I was very interested in spirituality and religion and life and the meaning of life, I studied theology and biblical studies and Hebrew in Trinity College. And thoroughly enjoyed my time there. And then I found work as a tutor for healthcare and have been doing that since then. I've started to practice homeopathy again as well, so I'm doing a little bit of both and thoroughly enjoying it. I've met some fantastic people. I haven't felt that I should stop because I'm a certain age, because it's part of who I am to be active and to stay active, so I would hope to continue this for as long as I can.
I wanted to find out what happened to you when you were 58.
I went out shopping one day, as I was prone to. Love shopping. And I came home with a shop. I suppose in my head I was always thinking, yeah, maybe I'd love a spiritual shop. Something to do with God and spirituality, and I didn't really think beyond that, I suppose, and I wasn't actively looking. And when the opportunity arose that there was a vacancy in the shopping centre for this shop, I jumped at it. So I kind of went home and announced in my usual unorthodox way to my family, you never guess what, I'm going to open a shop. And they all went, what are you going to do, Mum? And I went, well, I don't know really. Something spiritual. And that was as far as it went. I didn't think about the fact that I'd need money, which I didn't have any of. I didn't think of what I was going to sell, except it was going to be spiritual stuff. My daughter was in America at the time, and we were going to visit her. I told her about my exciting news about the shop. And we went shopping. And everywhere we went, angels fell off the shelves. Everywhere. Even to the day I was coming home, we went into a chemist shop. And lo and behold, this angel fell at my feet. Literally fell at my feet. So I came home to a suitcase full of angels and spiritual gifts and books and all sorts of things that I bought in the States. And so it began. 6 months after I opened the shop, I started doing seminars, and Dory Virtue came in. So the seminars grew out of that without me even realising what was happening. Getting speakers who will help people to connect with their spirituality in whatever direction they feel. They want to go, they should go, they can go, they'd like to go, they will go. People started connecting with me from all over the world, particularly from America. I just love it, and I am learning so much. It's like I want to be 25 again now.
So, Jerry, so you were working in England then, in the banking?
Yes, in 38 years in banking in all, 22 of them were spent in the UK within the same bank. And I was manager in three different branches in the UK up to my retirement. When I went, I was young enough. I was in my early 30s when I went, and I thought there was a better return out of individuals in terms of what they did, because they worked at a better pace rather than the more relaxed pace we had here. And I felt myself identifying with that, and it was a great opportunity. Later on, when it became more demanding, and it increased demanding because we had sort of mantras of doubling profits every 3 years and so forth, which at the beginning was easy, but when you achieved the results, it became more difficult the next 3 years and so forth. And it put enormous pressure on it, and it separated you from your family. You really had to put the business first and the family second, which was the wrong order of things. And I had a conflict ongoing there, which probably prompted me to avail of that early retirement too. Within a year, or just after a year from retirement, we made the decisions to come back to Ireland. When I retired, I'd almost given up any thought of being involved in music until I came back to Dublin. And very soon after we came back, had dinner one evening with an old friend of mine and her husband. He said, "Are you singing?" And I said, "Oh no, I don't know. I'm not sure whether I can sing or not." He said, "You should join the choir." Now, it passed off, a few drinks, nice dinner and so forth, and I thought, what has happened on a Saturday night? On a Monday night, I happened to be out, and I got back in the afternoon, and Bonnie had said to me, "I don't know whether you're going to like this or not, but you've got to go to the New Park School of Music at 4 o'clock for a voice test." So I went over and met this very charming Belgian lady. So she sat down and played a few notes and said, you can sing, you are a second tenor. But you said you're breathing. It is all over the place. That is why you have difficulty singing."
Right.
And it did sort out the breathing. I got into the Dublin Welsh Male Boys Choir at that stage, with whom I stayed for 4 or 5 years. And then there was a breakaway faction, and Celtic Choristers were formed. That was one way I spent my retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was asked to come on various committees, and I just found myself saying yes. I had discovered Dublin City FM when I'd come back to Ireland initially, and I had it programmed into the radio, and I happened to press a button and an announcement came out: Annie Olivia is looking for presenters, producers, researchers. And I rang instantly, because I know with a lot of these things, if you don't act immediately, you don't act at all. And Conor Fitzpatrick and myself were the joint presenters of Talk Time. And we did that for a year and a half, 5 days a week from 11 to 12. So yes, we did the chat show, and that was quite successful, because it was, you were interacting with the public, they were ringing in and so forth, and it was great. Enlightening, I hope, for them, and certainly enlightening for Carmel and myself.
And you still involved, and you became the treasurer then eventually,
financial controller, I suppose, within the radio station, subsequently a director. We were going through difficult times at that stage, and they asked me, with my finance background, and fortunately for both me and for them, I got involved, and we were able to work things out, and we got ourselves on an even plane.
I don't know where the angels began. They just always seem to be there. spirituality, what is spirituality to me? I guess it's acknowledging who I am, that I am a spiritual being in a body. So my whole life is spiritual. And spiritual is, I think, good and goodness and joy and love and happiness and all the gifts we have been given, and giving them back. So it's like breathing in and breathing out. You breathe it in from God, your father, your brother, your friend, whoever you think God is, and you breathe it back out to the universe, to everybody you meet. One of the things that somebody said to me many, many years ago was, if you met Jesus in the morning, would you recognize him? And then you start, as you get older, you realize, well, hang on a minute. He wasn't Irish. He came from an Eastern country, so he must have been darker skinned. And you realize, well, you really didn't know what he looked like at all. But if I believe what I say I believe in, to me, Jesus, God is in everybody. So the eyes are the soul, really, aren't they? I mean, your eyes show who you are, and they're part of your soul. That one sentence actually changed my life.
I worked for about 5 years as a clinical biochemist, learning all about that and seeing life in hospitals. And then I got an offer of a job as a technical representative for a German diagnostics company. And I was traveling around the country talking about diagnostics to doctors and laboratories. And then I got a job with an American diagnostics firm, making, researching and producing diagnostic chemicals and reagents. Shortly after that, I then started studying Chinese medicine. I learned then homeopathy and herbs and all the various approaches, including healing. So my whole career has been involved in natural medicine and diagnostics. So when people come to me now, I also have the confidence and knowledge of all those years, and I can understand their tests, and I understand what the doctors are saying about their diagnoses, and I have a good intuitive feel just by looking at a person as to what is wrong with them. And that helps me a lot in getting to the core of their problems. I've been accumulating information for many years, and I can apply many different approaches to a person's problems. In more recent years, I've become very much aware of the effects of stress, past life histories, childhood experiences, and all of these issues which are actually not dealt with adequately in conventional medicine. So this is what holism is all about, bringing all of this together, seeing the person as a result of their whole existence, not just in this life, but also what has come from past experiences and past lives. And to this end, I'm very interested in making remedies from trees, very old trees. And I find the energies of these old trees are fascinating, because they were around a long time ago. They were around during very troubled times in history, and they have the energies to heal those problems that we have inherited.
In taking on part-time jobs and so forth, you need to have some sort of contractual period so that you know when it's going to end. And you enjoy it more if you can get in, do what you're asked to do, and then get out. And to me, that's far more satisfactory. The movie extras was another thing I got involved in. That was what they now call background actors. Retirement certainly gives you that scope to expand out and to learn things, get involved in things that you thought you might never get involved in, you know, which is great. I'm the director of the Music Instrument Fund of Ireland, which helps young budding musicians, and we have a bank of about 15 or 20 musical instruments with a value of 250 to 300,000, and we loan those out to young people who are recommended by their teachers to us. I think every one of the musicians who borrowed an instrument for us has gone on further. They've all followed musical careers, which they mightn't have had if they didn't have access to these instruments.
Your life seems a lot more fulfilled now, Dan, maybe when you were stuck in a job having to pay a mortgage and...
That's right, and get up and drive an hour and a half into the office in the morning and an hour and a half home in the evening. You get up now and you look out the window and you say, gosh, it's great to be alive. And I'm my own boss today. Mm-hmm. I do what I want to do. That's lovely. That's a great, great feeling. The important thing is that you look and see, are there other things that have interested me in the past that I might get involved in, that I would be able to maybe develop a new career in? When you suddenly find yourself made redundant, or indeed you take early retirement, and or it's a combination of both, your voluntary redundancy, that you look and see, are there other things, and maybe for a year do something on a voluntary basis, to get out of your mind that old job, to get yourself thinking totally afresh in a totally different scenario. You start seeing opportunities. And I find that what I'm doing in a number of ways is helping other people. So I'm getting a satisfaction from that too.
Age is like a state of mind, isn't it? If you do something regularly that you love, it keeps you young. Smile and the world smiles with you. Weep and you weep alone. Because in the long run, it's your life. You're in control. It's what you do with it, not anybody else.
I will now lead you into a guided meditation to relax and breathe in new possibilities for yourself. Now for the next few minutes, see can you make yourself really comfortable and give yourself an opportunity to switch off from your daily routine and experience a state of relaxation. Sit comfortably, resting your feet firmly on the ground and feeling the support beneath you. Allow your spine to be nice and straight and your crown lifted towards the ceiling. Let your shoulders be soft, your hands resting on your laps, your eyes closed, your lips parted just enough to release your jaws, softening all the muscles of your face and bringing your awareness to the breath flowing in and out of your body. And begin to really pay attention to the breath, noticing the depth of your breath. And as you breathe in, simply say to yourself, I am breathing in. And as you breathe out, simply say to yourself, I am breathing out. And continue to breathe in this way for the next few breaths, allowing the breath to soften and lengthen, and allowing your whole body to relax more and more with each new breath. When you breathe out, you have an opportunity to let go of all the stress. Each out-breath, a letting go. And as you breathe in, just imagine breathing in a whole abundance of positive thoughts. So as you breathe out, you let go of fear, anxiety, confusion. And when you breathe in, you breathe in new possibility for yourself. Imagine breathing in joy, abundance, fulfillment, love. Let your whole body breathe these positive vibrations. And trust that whatever happened before this moment is gone. And you can create new possibilities for yourself with a positive outcome. Keep your connection with the breath. Filling yourself more and more with positive vibration with each new breath. And releasing all the old way of being, old way of thinking with each out-breath. And when you feel ready, become aware once more of your surroundings, Allow the breath to move deeper inside yourself and let your body stretch gently. And when you feel ready, on an out-breath, open your eyes to a new moment. You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This programme featured Jerry Cahill, Paddy McMahon, Anna Chu, Mairead Conlon and Tony Hughes. The music on this programme is from Seamus Byrne, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to find out about sacred geometry and nature's healing garden.